as we see in this very quote, that the states are the laboratories of democracy, and then my state, Arizona, is clearly the meth lab of democracy.
Hi there. Welcome into this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here. I'm your sometimes humble host. And still virus-free. Thank you very much. I am your humble, sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hopefully you are having a terrific Monday so far, and that all is well with you and yours. And that you are not overreacting to what's happening in America today. And if you're wondering what I mean by that, well, I mean that right now everybody's going crazy. They're just going crazy over the coronavirus, COVID-19. And I don't know about you, but we had an interesting weekend around our house. We contemplated going to the store to pick up a few groceries, and then thought better of it and decided we'd rather take up farming. It's just an odd situation in America today and around the world. And I have been to a Walmart in the last few days, and I went to pick up a cable, a networking cable for some of the computer stuff I've been working on that I've told you about. Which, by the way, more about that in just a couple of minutes. It's actually working very well. The store on everywhere but the grocery side of Walmart was like a ghost town. I think I ran into three or four people. Or crossed paths with three or four people, and the whole time I was there, and that includes the staff, the deaf lady who helped me out in the audio-visual department to find a Cat 5 or an Ethernet cable, which I passed by like three times and just didn't see. Do you ever do that in a store where you pass by something, you're looking for something? No, don't see it here. No, doggone it, where is it? Come on, where is it? And then you ask for help, and they walk you over to some place you've already been. Yeah, well, that was kind of how that happened. Yeah, they walked me right by some place I had already checked. Yeah, I felt like a big idiot. But there it was, and fortunately I had to have help anyway, because it was one of those items. Oddly enough, it's a piece of wire, it's an Ethernet connection, an Ethernet cable, and they have to put it under lock and key. You have to get a sales associate to help you get it off of the peg on the display, because apparently people steal this stuff. Who would have thought? An Ethernet cable, a network cable. People steal that stuff. But then, I've been in stores, a lot of stores. You know, my buddy Mike and I go thrift store scavenging on the weekends, which we could not this weekend because the thrift stores were closed, as were our breakfast places that we normally go to. They were closed. And we go to these places every Saturday, and we see every single time we go into one of these stores, we see evidence of shoplifting. Empty boxes, you know, where people have found something. Ooh, that's cool. And they'll take it out of the box and shove it in their pocket and put the empty box back on the shelf. And shoes. Shoes are a big thing that we see shoplifted. I know this is, I'm chasing a tangent here, but I'll get back. Shoes are another thing where you're kind of looking through the shoes. And we do this because, I have to say this, because both of us are always looking for the latest, greatest used pair of golf shoes. And we have been very fortunate on many occasions where we've gone through and we've found like these $200 golf shoes for $8 just because somebody's worn them a few times and decided, nah, I don't like these. I'll donate them and somebody else can wear them. And so you'll find them in a thrift store for cheap, cheap, cheap. Plus you'll find name brand shoes, stuff that's like Salomon's and Nike's and New Balance and Brooks. My buddy Mike found a pair of Brooks in his size, Brooks running shoes, that had barely ever been worn before. And you know how expensive Brooks are. But we find pairs of shoes in the rack with no price tag that are obviously worn completely out, where someone has taken the shoes off of the rack, put their shoes on the rack, and just walked out of the store wearing another pair of shoes. And they can't do anything about it. There's really not much they can do about it because they're not going to prosecute over something that didn't cost them anything. And they just won't. And it's a sad thing to see, but we see shoplifting all the time. And so this particular thing, this little Ethernet cable, was locked up on a peg, and they had to have a special, you know, that special little key to unlock it so you could get it. And they take it to the register for you. They're not going to let you walk out with it in your pocket. They take it to the register for you, and at that point, you pay for it, and then you leave with your stuff. And I just thought that was kind of bizarre. But back to the matter at hand, and that is coronavirus, the Wuhan flu, or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't offend me, and it shouldn't offend anybody who is a thinking person. The place was practically empty except for the grocery aisles, and I didn't get very close to those because I'm just not a big fan of getting in with a lot of people in any situation. I just, you know, no, I'll stay over here, thanks. Yeah, you and your crowd, you can have your fun. I'll be over here. But that was the extent of it, and we didn't really venture out much of anywhere over the weekend. I'm trying to think if I went anywhere. No. Wait a minute, did I? No. I didn't go anywhere over the weekend. No place. I pretty much stayed in the house. Had a great opportunity yesterday to get out. The sun was shining. The birds were chirping. The flowers were blooming. No, literally, flowers. We have the blooming trees. We have dogwoods, and we have azaleas, and we have all kinds of stuff around our house, and they're all starting to bloom, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, well, Jane had gone somewhere and said, I'll be right back. And I, of course, I know what that means. When my wife says, I'll be back in a little while, it means she's going to be gone for hours. And so I was waiting on her to come home, just hoping and praying she'd get home before sundown because I wanted to take the drone and go someplace and fly. And, you know, I've been wanting to do this for days now. And the weather has been awful. I mean, in the mornings, it's gorgeous. And then by the time I'm ready to get out, it's blustery and thunderstorms are coming through just that time of year, you know. Well, Saturday was gorgeous in the afternoon, and I was thinking, what I want to do is I want to go someplace that's normally swamped on a day like today. I want to go to a shopping center, a big one. There's one in our town called The Summit, which is where the Apple Store is. It's where a lot of high-line places are, and I wanted to go to The Summit and put the drone up in the air, get up to 400 feet, and just shoot that big empty parking lot. And also the interstate, which is, it's right by I-459, which is the loop around Birmingham. I wanted to get up and shoot all of that. No, never made it. I mean, by the time she got home, it would have been too late to get out and do that. So, boo. What else did we do over the weekend? Oh, we watched the new Disney movie Onward, which is now available on digital download, and you can get it. It's you know, there was a lot of fuss. I kept seeing all these people fussing about a gay character, an LGBT character in the movie. Maybe I'm just thick or dense, but there's only one character I could see in the film who could have been interpreted as being LGBTQ, but they never made an issue out of it. Not to my knowledge, not that I noticed, and I was paying pretty close attention to the movie, not looking for that, to be honest with you, just enjoying it because it was funny. It was well done. It's a buddy road picture. Okay, that's the way to put it. And those of you who understand, back in the day, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and others have done pictures where the point of the picture is getting from point A to point B, and all of the insanity that happens along the way. And that's what this movie is. It is an animated road pic. It's just a lot of fun between these two brothers and their adventure that they go on. There's the buttoned up, tight little nerd. Well, not the nerd of a brother. He's the button up, tight, straight-A student of a brother, and then there's the big social activist, goofy brother who's just all over the road. And between the two of them, they go on this quest, and it's really funny. We both of us laughed out loud several times during the movie, and at the end of it, I can hear my wife sitting in her chair. I can hear her sniffing because she's crying, because it's heartwarming and touching at the end. And that's Disney, you know. And yes, it does follow the Disney formula. There is one parent dead. Sorry, not to offend anybody, but that's Disney's formula. There's always one parent who's passed away, or both of them are passed away in the case of Frozen. So there's always parental death in a Disney movie. Come on, Disney, what's the deal? But it holds true in this one. And that particular parental absence plays into the plot line in a very heavy way. And it's just a fun movie. We enjoyed it immensely, and I just don't understand what the fuss is about. I really don't. Because the one character they may be talking about, there was never an issue. It was never brought up. I don't even recall a mention, even a casual mention about lifestyle or anything. I just don't. I was thinking maybe a peripheral character. I got to be honest with you, in Beauty and the Beast, LeFou in Beauty and the Beast was much more blatantly gay than anybody in this movie. And I just don't understand what the issue is. Anyway, but we did see it and enjoyed it. So in case you're wondering, yeah, go ahead and grab it. If you're a fan, go ahead and grab it. You'll enjoy it. And when it's I don't remember how much we paid to get it, but it's available. You can buy it now, and they'll have it on, it's going to be on Disney Plus very soon. So if you just want to wait, that's fine too. But we enjoyed it just as a heads up. And I think you probably will too. Oh, let's see what we've got to talk about today. There's a bunch going on. The Democrats have done something absolutely insane again. And I just don't understand how we allow these people to get away with the insanity. Just when it looked like the aid package was about to be approved, and Republicans had had swallowed their objections to it because they knew how important it was to get money out to certain places. And, you know, all that stuff we've been promised about that, the amount of money, the people getting $1,200 a piece in relief money and all that stuff, poof, all gone. It's all gone now. All of it. Every last bit of it is gone. Why? Because the House Democrats came back from their vacation. Yes, during the midst of all of this, they're talking about what a crisis this is. The House Democrats said, well, that's not going to stop us from going on vacation. See ya. And they went on vacation. They took a break. And when they came back, the first thing they did was say, oh, well, that'll never do. We're going to have our own bill coming up. And so Nancy Pelosi comes back, has a meeting with Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer shows up and says, yeah, we're not going to vote for this. And now we have a mess on our hands. And we'll look at that, among other things, as the day progresses. But first up, can we lighten things a little bit? Two Pennsylvania churches held services over the weekend at an outdoor drive-in movie theater. Good move. And because of the restrictions on gatherings with the coronavirus outbreak. The Hope Lutheran Church in Cherryville told its parishioners, worship in the comfort of your vehicle. Any snacks or drinks are at your discretion. You can even kick off your shoes without offending anyone. And Hope Lutheran held their service at Becky's Drive-In in Lehigh Township Saturday evening. Bethany Wesleyan Church reserved the drive-in for the service for 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning. Now, like California, New York, and Illinois, Pennsylvania took bold action Friday, and they ordered most of their residents to stay home to combat the spread of the virus that causes COVID-19. The drive-in services first hit the news on Thursday, and the drive-in itself, Becky's, was closed for the winter. They're not going to start showing movies again for another few weeks. But those who attended were asked to remain in their cars during the service. They were able to tune into the service on their car radio. And the pastor at Bethany, Kevin Federoff, said in a Facebook video inviting the members of his church to attend, he said, "I'll be delivering a message. You'll see me not up on the big screen. I'll just be there live and preaching." And he also says, "Our objective is not to be cool or clever. Our objective is to be the body of Christ." So good on these two churches for being clever and coming up with a way to hold their services and get people out of the house to attend. Very, very clever. Good for you. More after the break when the Daily Perspective continues.
America.
Indeed he do. God bless America on this Monday, the 23rd day of March 2020. And for many, it's day number 8 of your self-imposed quarantine. And I hope things are holding up for you, like your toilet paper supply and the like. And for those of you who hoarded toilet paper before, just between me and you, I hope that's all you have around the house. And you understand that you can't eat toilet paper. Just saying. Oh, by the way, back to using like a little FM transmitter or something like that to broadcast, like the drive-in movie theater that we talked about in the previous story. The drive-in theaters use the right equipment. They have specialized equipment, and they have special licensing and the like. They don't broadcast more than, they have a very small radius, a very small area that they broadcast to, and because they don't want people parking like somewhere outside the theater and watching from a distance and tuning in, so they keep it pretty limited. So you literally have to be in exactly the right spot in order to be able to hear what they do, and that's because there are FCC regulations against interfering with existing broadcasters. Now, that being said, you can buy broadcast equipment online. You can. Comes out of China. A lot of this Chinese garbage interferes with various like aircraft frequencies and the like, and it is highly illegal. There's a reason for it being illegal. It's dangerous. Not just to you, but it's dangerous to communications between planes and airports and emergency communications and the like. It's not designed properly. It's garbage equipment, and it's not intended to be operated in the U.S. anyway under our strict regulation. So don't get any ideas and think you could sit at home and create your own little radio station with the transmitter you bought off of eBay. Okay, or from one of those Chinese, like AliExpress. I know, you can't do that. Not legally. And you will, even though you may have fun for a short time, you will eventually get shut down. And trust me, you can't afford to get caught. Because when you deal with the FCC, you're dealing with a government agency that doesn't care about your feelings or your opinions or the fact that you were just having some fun. You broke federal law. And you're going to pay for it. And trust me, you can't afford it. Well, Larry the Cable Guy, the comic, Geeter Dunn, that guy. This guy has stepped up, and his real name is Daniel Whitney. The Larry the Cable Guy is an act, okay? And just so you know, comics, comedians, it's an act. It's something they work on, they craft, they perfect, and they get on stage and they do. It's an act. It's designed to produce laughter and entertain people. And so Daniel Whitney, also known as Larry the Cable Guy, decided that he'd had enough of the sanctimonious Hollywood types and gave them a little piece of his mind. Because they'd done this, you may have seen it, the viral video It's got more than a dozen celebrities singing John Lennon's hit song, Imagine. Well, Larry the Cable Guy highlighted what he sees as the hypocritical nature of this video. Hollywood celebrities have largely ignored the homelessness epidemic in Los Angeles. It's huge. You've seen the pictures. People living on the streets around L.A., doesn't matter to them. They've got their mansions. They've got their gates. They've got their security. They've got their armed protection. They don't care. Mm-hmm. He said, here's a message from people with a lot of possessions that can take a year off work and not flinch, telling everyone out of work to imagine a world with no possessions while people are living in the street a half a mile away from them. Wow. Whitney was responding to a fan who said the video really pissed him off. He called the celebrities clueless. Now, he clarified he does not harbor ill will toward Hollywood celebrities, but he did say the video was made in bad taste and the founder of communism would approve of it. Well, here's what he said. He said, I have no animosity toward these folks. The song is in bad taste. Marx would be proud of that song. And I'm not imagining no heaven. Jesus gives hope. Government can't give people a heart, change, or hope. Although John Lennon was not a communist, nor is Imagine a song directly about communism, John Lennon did say the song is virtually the Communist Manifesto. And go find the lyrics to the song, Imagine. When it hit the airwaves, when it was released originally, there was an outcry from the religious right, Christian people, because right off the bat it says, imagine there's no hell. Imagine there's no heaven, no hell below. And it asks you to take the Christian worldview out of the picture and look at things from a very humanistic perspective. And that's why there was objection to it. And if you're an atheist and you don't see a problem with that, I encourage you to please consider the views of other people in your thinking before you pass judgment. And I mean consider, be considerate, not judgmental. Because people do see things differently than you do. Just as you see things differently than other people do. Well, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as I mentioned a while ago, decided to move forward with her own coronavirus package, despite the current negotiations in the Senate. She said Sunday that she would be halting negotiations with the Senate to move to pass her own coronavirus package in the House, which could drag things out longer than many expected. Her legislation will be a $1.6 trillion emergency package, according to Politico. However, the House was working throughout the weekend with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who said Sunday that the Senate bill includes $75 billion for hospitals and that two-thirds of all new money in the bill will go to states. McConnell also said it's just about time to take yes for an answer. And now we know exactly what happened with regard to that. Yeah. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell unloaded on the Democratic leadership for killing a massive $1.8 trillion spending bill. It got to 1.8 by that time to protect the economy and American families from the fallout of the coronavirus, which originated in China. China. McConnell noted that the Democratic leadership, specifically House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, they were the ones who killed the bill, which reportedly had strong bipartisan support. The bill would have provided direct payments of $1,200 to millions of Americans and provided numerous other benefits. McConnell said, the American people are watching this spectacle. I'm told the futures market is down 5%. I'm also told that that's when trading stops. So the notion that we have time to play games here with the American economy and the American people is utterly absurd. So I want to explain what just happened. Our good friends on the other side would not have been disadvantaged one bit if this vote had succeeded, because it would have required potentially 30 more hours of discussion during which these seemingly endless negotiations could go on as long as they would like. Now, the buildup to this, so everybody fully understands, is that we had a high level of bipartisanship in five different working groups over the last 48 hours where members who were participating were reaching agreement. And then all of a sudden, the Democratic leader and the Speaker of the House shows up, and we're back to square one. So we're fiddling here, fiddling with the emotions of the American people, fiddling with the markets, fiddling with our health care. The American people expect us to act tomorrow. And I want everybody to fully understand, if we aren't able to act tomorrow, it will be because our colleagues on the other side continuing to dicker when the country expects us to come together and address this problem. Now, I changed my vote, which gives me the opportunity to move to reconsider at a later time. That's all I can do in the face of this obstruction. Look, I can understand obstruction when you're trying to achieve something. This obstruction achieves nothing. Nothing whatsoever, other than prevent us from getting into a position where there are literally 30 more hours that they could use to continue to dicker. So at a time when the country is crying out for bipartisanship and cooperation, and we saw that over the last 40 hours when regular members of Senate, not in the leadership office, not in the Speaker's office, for goodness sakes, she's the Speaker of the House, not the Speaker of the Senate. We don't have one. We were doing just fine until that intervention. So I want the American people to fully understand what's going on here. The markets are already reacting to this outrageous nonsense. We have an obligation to the American people to deal with this emergency and deal with it tomorrow. And if we don't, I want everybody to fully understand. You've seen everybody who's on record. I've conspicuously avoided trying to turn this into any kind of partisan effort for 2 days, but it's pretty clear what's going on here.
Great googly moogly.
I must agree. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. During the break, I was looking over my tech. No, that's not what that means. I was looking over my computers, popping the screens up and seeing, making sure everything is running like it's supposed to. And the recorder had shut down for some reason. I have no idea why. And that means that this Monday's podcast recording didn't happen, basically, at least the first half of it. And that means I'll be having to extract the audio from the Facebook Live version of the podcast. So that means that things may be a bit late getting distributed this morning. Just as a heads up, okay? Just so you know. Just so you know, okay? All right. Because I like having this stuff up as quickly as possible, usually within 20 minutes of the or so after I get finished with the live version. It's already out there and available on mobile devices for people who subscribe. And that, of course, means it'll be a little bit later today because I've got to go through another step and download what actually, you know, download what goes, what went to Facebook Live. I'm distracted because I'm looking at things and making sure everything is right. And who knows? And one of the things is, and that this, by the way, is completely my fault because what I did, and this brings me back to something I mentioned at the top of the show. One of the things I did over the weekend was I transferred all of the feed and record functions that I use for the podcast over to my new little Hackintosh, my little Lenovo ThinkCenter, my Tiny 93 that I put together last week. That's running the Mac operating system, and it's a PC that's a Mac, but it's not a Mac because it's a PC, but it's not running Windows. It's the only operating system on it is, yeah, but it runs great. Actually, it runs better than the Mac Mini that is my my program server. Eh? So it's opened up all kinds of interesting possibilities. In fact, it's running headless, and headless means there's no monitor, there's no keyboard, there's no mouse. I just access it across the network using screen sharing, and I can control it. And it looks, by the way, it looks incredible. And it's running. It's running really, really well. I mean, if you're watching the Facebook Live version here, let me do a little thing here. Bing, Whammo. Look at that. Look at the pictures changing. Look at that video playing. It's just, look at that. How about that? Isn't that great? That just looks fantastic, doesn't it? I really, really like it. I like it a lot. It's really, I mean, the video is playing great in the background. And, well, even that one. Hey, look at that. Thanks, Communist China. It's just working really, really well. And I'm very happy about it. I couldn't be more pleased. It's not a workhorse. It's not a powerhouse, I should say. It's not going to be used for editing video. I've tried. That's one of the things I did, was I loaded a couple of different video editing packages onto it and tried editing video. It's just not up to the task. It really isn't up to it. It just doesn't have the graphics capability. And it's just, even though it's an i7 and it's got 16 gigs of RAM, it just can't. It just can't do it. So it's just not designed for it. But it will handle all of this audio back and forth. I could edit audio on it all day long. And it will handle what I'm doing as far as connecting to Facebook to deliver the program and recording. Provided I don't screw that up somehow. And I did somehow, and I don't know how. Anyway, we'll see. I'll figure that out and get it solved by tomorrow. And then everything will be better than it was. Back to the previous story, if you don't mind. Mitch McConnell was not through speaking. Let me finish up what he had to say. He said, hopefully some adults will show up on the other side of the room and understand the gravity of the situation and the need to act before the markets go down further and the American people become even more depressed about our lack of ability to come together under the most extraordinary circumstances. We've never been confronted with anything like this before. It's totally different. And we're not immune to it in the terms of the public health risk. The coronavirus has hit the Senate today as well. We have five members in self-quarantine. Everybody understands the emergency, particularly when it hits close to home. It's not just back in our states, but right here in the Senate. So I would say to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, step up. Step up. Help us reach an agreement so we can do what needs to be done for the American people no later than tomorrow. And when he says tomorrow, he means today, because this was yesterday. He said this late yesterday. Because the Democrats are playing games again. Why? The answer to that question is the same answer it has always been. The answer to that question is power and control. And gaining that power and control through damaging the President of the United States. Because as they delay, as they posture, as they do what they're doing, their justification for doing so will be because the President is inept and incompetent and is mishandling this entire thing. And it is up to them to do things the right way so that they will take care of more Americans. That will be their reasoning. They will say that the Republicans, working in lockstep with an incompetent president, failed to protect certain people, and they're going to make sure those people are protected. And at the same time, you watch very carefully. Please do yourself a favor and watch this carefully, not by watching the NBC Nightly News or MSNBC or CNN or any of the network outlets or even Fox News, because they tend to gloss over so much. They give everything so little time. Do your own digging and do your own research and find out what's really going on. But pay attention to what's happening, and you will find that what the Democrats are trying to do, one, is to discredit the President of the United States because it's an election year. Yes, it's an election year. This is all political. It's completely political. The welfare of the American people. Remember, they have told us, they and their partners in the progressive news media, have told us that this is a crisis unlike any other the world has ever seen. I'm coming back to that. And that we need them to come to our rescue. And we need things done quickly, because this crisis is unprecedented. And what do? They come back from their little vacation, which they took during an unprecedented health crisis the world has never seen before. They took time off. What does that tell you? it's really not what they're saying it is. That's one thing it tells you. They come back from their little break and get back to business as usual, trying to destroy the president of the United States and his chances for re-election. That's what this is all about. All of it. That's what it's all about. Nancy Pelosi, I'm just going to say it, the evil beast that she is, came back loaded and ready to play politics again. And when she did, Chuck Schumer lined up with her, and they torpedoed what was happening in the Senate. And so now, that $1,200 per person you were counting on because you're not getting paid is going to take longer to get to you. Oh, but please, take heart. Because somewhere in the Democrat legislation which will come out of the House will be some earmarking of lots and lots and lots of money heading towards medical needs. And when you do some deeper checking and find out what could possibly be covered by those medical needs, as is outlined in the Democrat version of this, you will find it will benefit Planned Parenthood. Because Planned Parenthood donates a lot of money to Democrat campaigns. And so, the Democrats, under the guise of health care, funding health care needs, will make sure somehow that Planned Parenthood can benefit to the tune of multiple millions, if not billions of dollars. And a big chunk of that money will turn right back around and come into their pockets again as campaign donations. That's what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the House of Representatives will be crafting a bill which will funnel money into places that does not need that it does not need to go. Let's be absolutely clear here. Planned Parenthood does not provide health care. Planned Parenthood makes its money by killing the unborn. They don't do mammograms. They don't do many of the things that people claim that they do. They refer people to other places for that. Planned Parenthood and their surrogates in politics fight against legislation requiring real health care procedures and measures to be taken, such as requiring that those who work in a medical capacity at Planned Parenthood clinics have admitting privileges at local hospitals. Just in case someone who comes through their clinic needs to go to a hospital quickly and needs to be admitted without the red tape of having to go through another channel to get that permission. Whether it means they were injured at a Planned Parenthood clinic, which happens more often than you would believe because they cover it up, or they just spot something that needs to be handled in a hospital, a real hospital, and they want to get somebody admitted because they spot something that needs attention and needs it now. But they fight against that every time it comes up. Why? Because it's not about doing good medicine for their clients. Because that would require some expense on their part. And it would also reveal some very nasty things about their abortion clinics. They fight against good health care. But watch very carefully, because Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the House of Representatives are about to do something unbelievably evil.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Yep, that's what we got going on. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the Monday, March 23rd edition of the podcast. I hope you are doing well. Well, according to reports from the Chinese government, this comes from The Blaze, the worst of the coronavirus outbreak in the communist nation has passed, and even the hardest hit regions have started returning to normal. That sounds like good news, but as I've said before here, you can't trust the Chinese government. They lied to us, they obfuscated things, they hid things, and now we can't trust this. Those reports are being disputed by local Chinese officials who say the government's using deceptive measures to create the appearance of normal business operations and productivity, according to the Chinese media outlet Kaixin. For the first time since the coronavirus known as COVID-19 was discovered, China has reported no new infections. For the past couple of days, the number of new reported deaths has been in the single digits. As a result, some of the businesses in China that were forced to shut down have begun reopening. And some travel restrictions have been lifted, although that's creating some new issues, including a fear of imported COVID-19 cases. Although the Chinese government, well known for concealing or manipulating information, would obviously prefer the world seeing signs of strength and recovery, that might not be the case. Chinese whistleblowers tell Kaixin they were working, they're working to create an appearance that things are back to normal when they're not. From that publication, Beijing has spent much of the outbreak pushing districts to carry on business as usual, with some local governments subsidizing electricity costs and even installing mandatory productivity quotas. Zhejiang, a province east of the epicenter city of Wuhan, claimed as of February 24th it had restored 98.6% of its pre-coronavirus work capacity. But civil servants tell Kaixin, maybe that's Kaishan, maybe I've got that wrong. But civil servants tell Kaishan that businesses are actually faking these numbers. Beijing had started checking Zhejiang businesses' electricity consumption levels, so district officials ordered the companies to start leaving their lights and machinery on all day to drive the numbers up. That's according to one civil servant. Businesses have reportedly falsified staff attendance logs as well. They would rather waste a small amount of money on power than irritate local officials, they say. The number of reported coronavirus cases worldwide has now surpassed the number in China, and Italy alone has more reported deaths than China, despite having nearly 40,000 fewer reported cases. So, China's lying to us. Shocker, I know. China's lying to us. You can't trust what's coming out of China. They hid this from us for months. And then when it spread, they lied about how severe it was. And when people tried to tell us how severe it was in China, in Wuhan province, they cracked down on those people. Some disappeared. Many were punished. So we can't trust China. We have to look at everywhere else. So when the World Health Organization, the WHO, speaks in glowing terms of what's happening in China, take that with a huge grain of salt. Now, moving to Italy. Italy alone reported more deaths than China, despite having nearly 40,000 fewer reported cases. I read this morning that the reason we're hearing so many deaths attributed to coronavirus coming out of Italy is because they test post-mortem. They test for the virus in the corpses, not in the living. So, everybody who dies, if they test positive for the coronavirus, whether the coronavirus was the actual cause of death or not, their death is attributed to the coronavirus. This is just part of the failure of socialized medicine in Italy. I encourage you to do your own digging on that and to look a little deeper into it. But we are finding that the numbers coming out of Italy also are not all that trustworthy. So let's take a look at worldometer.com and have us .info and see what they have to say. Currently, 353,266 known coronavirus cases, 15,408 deaths so far, 100,604 recoveries. How about that? In the United States, 35,079 known cases, 458 total deaths, and 178 recoveries. For the sake of comparison, we talked about the number of deaths, 15,408. That is so far this year from coronavirus. Influenza has killed 109,000 people so far this year. Just for comparison. Well, over to an article from PJ Media. It seems amazing that the public is ignoring the unhinged criticism and hate directed at the president. They're standing behind him in this time of crisis. Even though the Democrats are trying to shut him down, to torpedo his chances of re-election, everything they do increases his approval numbers. The latest evidence is the new Morning Consult poll shows a surprising jump in support for Trump's handling of the crisis. Given the overwhelming negative coverage by the fake news media, says Mark Margolis, complete with blatantly false stories, the fact that Trump's approval in handling the pandemic is in positive territory is remarkable. One can only imagine what Trump's numbers would be if Democrats weren't politicizing the pandemic and he was getting fair coverage from the media. Today, the Morning Consult poll shows 53% of voters approve of Trump's crisis management, while only 39% disapprove. Significantly, there was a sizable increase in support from Democrats and independents. The uptick was largely driven by 8-point bumps in approval among Democrats from 18% to 26% and independents from 43% to 51%, while positive sentiment among GOP voters rose from 83% to 87%. We may look back this past week as the turning point in the crisis. Trump's been focused on the government's response to the crisis and not so much on the opposition. This is what the American people want to see from him, and it's beginning to pay dividends. As the fallout from government actions begins to affect the economy, people are understandably more concerned. Compared to the poll conducted earlier last week, voters are 19 points more likely to say they're very concerned about their local economy and 16 points more likely to say the same about the U.S. economy. All of this has increased voters' fears about the spread of the virus, with 62% saying they were very concerned, up 16 points from a previous poll. A majority of voters, 55%, said coronavirus is a severe health risk in the United States. That's up 15 points from March 13th through the 16th. Donald Trump had a very good week, not just in the polls, but in doing what presidents are supposed to do in crisis. Lead. As the negative headlines multiply, Trump appears calm and in control. His rabid opponents might not like it, but that's what people are responding to. The more hysterical they get, the more support the president receives, and the more the American people tune out those seeking to divide the country for political gain. And that, my friend, is good news. That people are turning off the hysterics. That they're turning their backs on what is happening in the progressive press, because they see the progressive press for what it is. One of the rumors that the progressive press has been spreading, and I hate it. I just hate this, because the press is a rumor mill now. They don't do deep checking. They don't validate stories. They don't substantiate things. They go with stories and then find out they're wrong later. And very rarely do they actually correct themselves and own up to their errors. If they do, and they're in print or online, in print media online, they bury their corrections, so you'll probably never see them. One of the stories that's been making the rounds is they're talking about a national shutdown. Well, according to Newsmax.com, President Donald Trump is not planning a full shutdown of the nation or of domestic travel at this time, despite ordering closures of the borders with Mexico and Canada. That's according to Acting Secretary of Homeland Security Chad Wolf. He said that yesterday. Quote, the president and vice president in the task force have been very aggressive and very forward-leaning in the amount of guidance and information to the American public. There's been a number of governors, New York, California, for example, that have taken the extra step and imposed additional strict measures. There are also no immediate plans to enact restrictions on domestic travel. But the government does not continue to be concerned about, areas like New York, parts of California, and Washington State. Wolf says, we will continue to look at that, and if we see we need to put targeted travel restrictions in place, we'll do that. I will say there's no immediate plans as of right now for any widespread travel restrictions. There will be some communities that will need to take more aggressive measures than others, he said, adding that federal government is working with them and encourages them to continue with their actions. Communities in the Midwest and South are not seeing the same numbers as New York, California, or Washington State, and they don't need to take similar measures. But the numbers are being evaluated daily, says Wolf. Meanwhile, on Friday, the Centers for Disease Control on Friday gave an order to suspend the entry of anyone entering the country without proper documentation. That's an important step. But it's important to keep trade coming across the borders and to keep the supply chain and economy running. And they're working on all that stuff. But they're not working on a nationwide shutdown. And that's something you need to understand. I posted a story to social media this morning. Actually, I've posted a couple over the last few days, and I really encourage you to go to the Daily Perspective Podcast Facebook page and look at the stories that I've put there. Because one of those posts that I put there was exposing how someone like Rachel Maddow comes up with the stories they come up with, and how little actual research they really do. Because their sole purpose in life right now is to destroy President Trump. They say they're operating as some noble profession speaking truth to power, but they can't speak truth to power because they aren't digging enough to find the truth. They're just repeating the echo chamber's claims and expecting you to believe them. Check those stories today. And we'll be back tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective. God bless. Have a good one. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.